T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Friday, good morning, and welcome to 95.7 The Game. We're alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenball. We have got an action-packed final 2 hours for you today, so buckle up because it's about to get rocky. Ross Tucker's going to join us in 3 minutes, Ted Robinson at 8:30, Mark Schlereth in an hour at 9:05, Susan Slusser at 9:30. In addition, $1,000 to give away in just a moment. A's Giants Bay Bridge Series tickets to give away for Monday's game at 8:25, and golf tickets to give away at 8:45.
Golf tickets, baby.
It's like Christmas around here. We're just giving it all away.
It's incredible. And, you know, speaking of the golf event, some late-breaking news. Your boy Lo Neal has done it again. That's all I'm going to say.
Newsflash.
Your boy Lo Neal. So part of the LMA,
what do we got going on here?
Part of the LMA Classic is they have this big celebrity shootout on Tuesday.
Like a pro-am sort of thing?
It's more of like a light celebrity thing, probably 4 to 6 holes where Steph, Clay, and Andre are a team. I could roll out all the celebrities in this lineup. It's really awe-inspiring. And Lo Neal is a part of a team. And apparently they're short one player, so he's throwing your boy Dan Dibley in the hopper. So, Joe, it's going to be this celebrity tournament with, like, legitimate A-lister, like, global icons, former NFL players, and some balding, redheaded radio schlub. I don't think I've ever been this nervous in my life.
I would say don't sell yourself short. You've got a hell of a golf game, and that'll speak for itself when you get out there.
Well, I'd better, Joe, because when, you know, when they get on the first tee and they're announcing all these people and Steph's up next and it's up now, Dan Dibley, it's going to be.
They're going to, like, what the hell are you doing out here? Joe's already laughing.
Dude, so bad.
I would say fire a good round. I would say that's the easiest way to quiet people down, yeah, is they go out there to see Lo Neal, and Dan Dibley keeps hitting fairways and greens. Suddenly
true.
It's going to be, all right, Lo Neal's game's one thing, but who's this other guy with the game? That would be the key. Now, if you go
the
out
key.
There and suck,
oh.
I can't wait to lead with it Wednesday morning. $1,000 to give away as part of the 4K a day cash contest. Text the code word PILLOW to 72881. PILLOW to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Ross Tucker in just a minute, but right now, the celebrity dibs with your update.
Fourth tier at best. JaVale McGee, by the way, is staying. That's our headline story. The band will be back together for Golden State. Chris Haynes of ESPN, the first to report the Warriors will re-sign JaVale McGee. Also, a training camp invite has been given to Cleveland. Not Cleveland, Ohio, but Antonius Cleveland, who played for Portland Summer League earlier this month. Story number two, the A's get swept away in Toronto in ignominious fashion. A walk-off grand slam in the 10th. It was Steve Pierce who hit it. The A's lose 7-3. They return home licking their wounds, hosting Minnesota tonight. Bob Melvin, a fifth chance at career win number 1,000. Story number three, the Giants reduced to playing spoiler this season. They're down in Southern California to take on the juggernaut Dodgers. Giants 31.5 games back of L.A. in the NL West. Matt Moore goes up against Alex Wood at 11-1, having a fantastic season. The update brought to you by Bail Arm. With Bail Arm, you're protected 24/7 by the local security experts. Go to bailarm.com to schedule your free security review today. Bail Arm, what have you got to lose? I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Former NFL offensive lineman, and you can catch him now on NBCSN, Sirius XM Radio, and the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. It's Ross Tucker with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Ross, good morning and thank you for your time. We'll jump right into the conversation we were having in the last segment. John Gruden, do you see next season as the year he finally returns to the NFL? And if so, where could be his potential landing destination?
Well, I think it's interesting that this comes out that he's so strongly considering coming back and he misses it and he's preparing when we've got a year where there's a number of really talented college prospects expected to be available, whether it's the Josh Allen kid from Wyoming or the two kids in L.A. with Josh Rosen at UCLA and Sam Darnold at USC. I guess I wonder whether or not that's a coincidence. He talked a lot in that story about how he never really had a chance to develop somebody from when they were young. Now, part of that is they didn't really draft many guys like that on the organizations he was with. So I'll still say this, guys, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, we've heard this for so many years now, for so long. He gets paid so much money and has such a cushy life as the game analyst for ESPN that I believe he actually comes back when I see it, because he's had some pretty good opportunities, including I think he might have even had a chance recently with the Colts and Andrew Luck. There were some rumors about that. I mean, if you don't take that job, I just don't know what job you're going to take. So we'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. I would still say, if I had to put $5 on it, I'd say he's still in the broadcast booth a year from now.
If he were to come back, you talk about the idea of developing a young quarterback. You talk about his timing. How about the idea of the Dallas Cowboys as they deal with some of their own controversy, Ezekiel Elliott and everything else that's been taking place? The fact that Jason Garrett hasn't necessarily gotten the job done, that would be as splashy as it comes, and you'd get an opportunity to develop a young quarterback in Dak Prescott.
That's interesting. I don't think that would happen, and I'll tell you why. Because if you read all the quotes from Gruden, he talks a lot about personnel and how, you know, Rich McKay drafted this guy, he didn't want him, and if he had, you know, if he ever came back to coaching, things would be different on the personnel side. And I just don't think, barring a catastrophe this year, a disaster in Dallas, I can't imagine that Jerry Jones would go that route and give Gruden all that kind of power. I think Gruden knows that Jerry Jones is ultimately going to be the guy picking players. I don't think that's the environment he's looking for. I think he'd be more inclined to go to, like, the New York Jets with the number one pick in the draft, low expectations coming off what will be a horrific season this year, and maybe being able to bring in his own personnel guy, but ultimately Gruden's the one calling all the shots.
In your opinion, here in Oakland, Austin Howard, a guy who's slotted to be the backup or challenge for the starting tackle position, do you think that's just a guy now we hear ESPN is saying that he is going to be cut or is cut? Do you think that was the player just saying, hey, look, I know I'm not going to start here. The tackle position's always a premium. And is he going to be a starter? And where do you think he lands?
I'm a little surprised by that. I think I've talked to you guys about this before. I love the Raiders offensive line. I mean, especially KO, that's my guy. He's my favorite offensive lineman in the league to watch, Kelechi Osemele. But even all those guys, especially the interior guys, Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson, they get after people.
Sure.
I'm a little surprised that they're bringing in Marshall Newhouse, who I would say is, at this stage of his career, a journeyman and or best served to be a swing tackle. I'm assuming that's who they're going with, is the starting right tackle. That surprises me a little bit that they would just move on from Howard and be that confident in Marshall Newhouse. Maybe it speaks to how they feel about the Alexander kid from last year or David Sharp, the ginormous kid from Florida that they drafted this year. But what I don't like about the Raiders offensive line, the roster right now, is I always look at it like your sixth offensive lineman, you have to kind of plan on him starting at least half the games, just the way these injuries go. And then your seventh offensive lineman ends up starting a good four or five. And I don't know that I feel real good about the Raiders' backups right now, and that could hurt them, especially in some key games down the stretch.
How much could that be potentially offset by the tough running of Marshawn Lynch? The Raiders, a team that will go double tight ends occasionally and will put in that sixth offensive lineman, but now with a bruising back, does that help them alleviate some of the depth at offensive line?
Well, I think it helps in the sense that it helps the offensive line that they're not doing drop back passes as much. You know, I mean, I think any offensive lineman would tell you, or almost any of them, They'd much rather run the ball than pass block all game. And it just helps so much to sort of beat up the defensive linemen a little bit and also not let them just be able to pin their ears back and fly off the ball. So you'd always rather have the chance to run the ball. I don't know that it really helps, though, from an injury standpoint. You know, I mean, I think if a backup got in the game, they'd be less likely to get exposed like they could if they were throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game. But ultimately, you know, even running the ball, they might even have more of a chance to get injured just because of the physicality that goes along with, you know, teeing off on people. So I, at this time of year, I always look at rosters, and I think most people focus, and rightfully so, on the starting positions that are a concern. But if we're really talking about being a Super Bowl contender, the backup spots matter as well. And I know they saved some money getting rid of Austin Howard. My question is, and you guys might know their cap situation more than me, did they really need that money right now? And do they really feel good about who they're plugging in there if Donald Penn goes down or Marshall Newhouse goes down?
Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. You can catch him on NBCSN, SiriusXM Radio, and, of course, on the Ross Tucker podcast with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. If you were to think about a surprise team for the upcoming season, every year one or two come out of nowhere to catch everyone's attention. This season, who do you think that team could be?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define surprise and how much they need to accomplish. I think a couple teams that come to mind for me that I really like them in relation to what their over-under number is out in Vegas. I think they have a great chance to win more than what people are expecting. One of them is the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, you look, they're getting some guys back now that were injured, guys like Keenan Allen and Jason Verrett. I know this isn't what the Raiders fans want to hear, but I think the Chargers have a chance to be a really, really sneaky good team this year that could make the playoffs. I also like the 49ers more than a lot of other people. I'm a big believer in Kyle Shanahan. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but last I checked, I think their win total was 4.5. I love the over for the Niners at 4.5. I feel like they'll get better quarterback play from Hoyer in Shanahan's system. I love what they did in the draft. A lot of people do. And even just moves like bringing in Dumervil, bringing in Juszczyk, I think that they want to change the culture immediately. They're not looking at this as like a 3 to 5 year thing. They want the guys to buy in and believe what they're doing now and get some wins this year to show for it. So the guys are like, okay, you know, this new regime does know what they're doing. By the way, Lorenzo, What are you thinking about with Juszczyk's contract? My Ivy League buddy Juszczyk, man. I thought about you when I saw him sign that deal.
Yeah, he's actually, he had to take a brief powder, Ross. He, as we like to say on this show, he had to take a playoff. He had a call from somebody, and it's one of those calls from nature, Ross, where you have to answer it. There's no sending that one to voicemail.
I'm pumped for him as a fellow Ivy League guy, and he's a stud. He deserves it. Obviously, what he does in special teams is really impressive as well. But I thought of all the old hammerheads that over the years got paid the minimum or a little bit above when he got that deal.
I think it's incredible that you had to answer your own question because Lo Neal couldn't be bothered to stick out the segment, Ross.
Thank you. You're
a true pro.
Here's the kicker for you, though. He's in the bathroom. We're being played in the bathroom right now. So you can speak to him as he tries to solve this problem.
Yeah, well, my question would be, how long are your breaks?
It's funny, Ross. We do 40 minutes uninterrupted from 7:45 to 8:25, basically. So,
okay. That is understandable then. I get that. By the way, he's right now, he's like, I can't believe the 3 minutes I stepped away. The 3 minutes I stepped away to use the restroom.
Don't even start.
Back and
hey, look who's back, Ross.
He's
look
back,
back,
Ross. Look who's
back
it.
Again. Guess who's back.
Mother Nature at times called, but when you get my age.
I mean Lorenzo, for years I praised you so much for being so tough, for being so physical. There's nothing you can't overcome. Yeah, you can't even talk to me on the radio. You got to get to go take a leak.
Hey, bro, I asked
Ain't
the
no
first.
Leak.
I asked easy dibs. I asked the first question. You know, I was. Come on, you know I love you. We go way back. Come on.
No, I'm just messing with you. I was asking you about Juszczyk's contract and what you thought about that.
You know, it's interesting. It finally,
Ross, do you still really even want that answer?
You know what? Do you really want that answer, Ross? I'm like pissed because these guys now are making these $4 and $5 million a year for a fullback. I mean, gosh, but I love him. I think he's great in the pass game. The guy can come in. You can move him around. I like Juszczyk. I like what he brings to the game. I think the San Francisco 49ers got a diamond in this guy. He's going to be big.
What they really liked about him, Lorenzo?
Talk to me.
They said he can go a whole game without having to use the restroom. In the middle of the game. I mean, maybe you could have gotten paid more money during your career if you didn't have to just get up and go in the middle of the action to go to the restroom.
Hey, you know there's been times, I heard some stories about you, like you're actually, instead of going in the middle of the game, you just went on the field. So I know those stories too. Come on, coach.
Oh, yeah. I would be early to mid fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I would sit on the bench with a bunch of towels and just pee in my pants every single
day. Oh, yeah. Come on. I've seen it all. We know these things. Yeah.
Ross, at this point, I'm not even sure if I can ask you another NFL question. I will ask you this, though. Tell us about ballcannon.com.
It's unbelievable. Have you guys checked out the video?
Like, yes.
You know what you should do? You guys should get one for the studio. It is. I had this guy reach out to me and say, hey, you want to help me with this? I said, no, I'm not doing it. No, thank you. Then he drove to my house. It's the coolest thing that's come out in a long time. I mean, I play it with my 4 and 5 year old daughters all the way till my 38 year old buddies. I'm hanging out with them tonight. We'll be out having a couple beers and we'll be shooting the ball cannon. You just got to go check out the video. It is awesome. It's a football launcher. It's kind of like a jug machine, but affordable and portable that you can actually have at your house, your backyard, your driveway. Pretty much the best gift for, I'd say, anybody between 5 and 15 that I've seen come out in years. Ballcannon.com. Trust me, you'll be by far the coolest person, and your kid will be the coolest kid in the Bay Area.
Can you take it to the bathroom?
You can, yeah. It's the ball cannon, sure.
Former NFL offensive lineman, catch him now on NBCSN, SiriusXM Radio, and as the host of the Ross Tucker Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. It's Ross Tucker with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A true professional, Ross. Job well done. Thank you for your time, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, it would be real awkward if I left in the middle to go to the bathroom.
Yes, it would.
Oh, you're going to do this to me, bro? Really?
See you guys.
See you, Ross. What happened there?
Wow. I was running back, and I was like, oh, they're getting ready. I hear it happen.
We were going to let it slide,
Ross specifically
addressed you, and it's like, what are you doing in that spot?
I know. You did good. You guys did good.
We're going to go to the phones right now to address this situation. Daryl the Guru Johnson, an individual who was bit by a burrito not too long ago, had to leave the studio at around the same time. Guru, is this sweet vindication for you?
Yeah, I just want to welcome Lorenzo Neal to the exclusive club of radio hosts that couldn't hold it. I'm very happy to welcome Lorenzo Neal to the club. We're honored. Oh, can you just tell me about the walk of shame when you have to walk back knowing that Dibs and Joe are waiting for you with bazookas?
No, we're not discussing this. We're on the Cincinnati.
Oh, no. We're on discussing the Cincinnati. You had quite a bit of fun at Guru's expense. Now, come on, it's only fair.
My man Tucker called me out, and I wasn't here. Joe had my back, him and Dibs, and then there was a question specifically asking me. But see, I asked my question early, so I thought I was good. In my stomach, there was a rumbling and a jumbling and a twisting and a turning. And I said, good God Almighty, I got to go.
Guru,
did you have the radio on in the restroom, Lo? That's what I want to know, because I did, and I heard Joe, and you guys just have at me.
Oh, but see, I was good, because I was like 5 steps away, completing the mission. And Joe was, right when I walked in, I walked into the bomb. It was a bomb in Gilead. So I caught it, right? I mean, so it was, It was nothing I could do.
Guru, how do you feel knowing that after having to take quite a bit of abuse that day? Because I got to be honest, when you left the studio after that burrito incident, it was probably about 8:06. We took that right until 10 a.m. We did not stop. We were unrelenting.
Come on, I'm your
partner. Law had a lot of fun with that. How do you feel today knowing that this just occurred to Lorenzo Neal?
I feel like mine was just a little blip on the radar, and the reason being is the guest had no idea. You covered for me at least, but lo, the guest knew. I mean, I don't know what to do.
It's awkward, Guru. I think we're discovering today just why Lorenzo's number back in the day was deuce, deuce. That's all I have.
Guru, have a great weekend. We appreciate you being available for us on the drop of a dime.
Go to hell, Guru.
You can find me in the club, he says, Lo. Welcome to the club.
God, that was brutal.
Hilarious.
Not really.
The real question is, how far do I want to take this? I could try to take it all the way up until 10.
No.
I could stretch it till Monday.
We could
run it for the rest of summer.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Please. We're on to Cincinnati. Let's just enjoy
to Cincinnati.
You're so freaking lucky Ted Robinson is booked for the next segment.
Yes.
You are so lucky.
He's too classy to run this material for too.
Ted's coming in. It's going to be highbrow, very highbrow. And that's what we'd expect. Let's give away some tickets to anyone who's not on the toilet at the moment and capable of weighing in.
Deuce, deuce.
But maybe you are on the toilet. Maybe you are on the toilet and you got your phone with you. So it is the Battle of the Bay, presented by Gilead Sciences, as the A's host the Giants Monday, July 31st, and Tuesday, August 1st. On July 31st, the first 25,000 fans get a Welcome to the Beast Bay t-shirt, and on Tuesday, August 1st, the first 25,000 fans get a Hella Hustle towel. Visit athletics.com/bay for more info. That's athletics.com/bay. Caller number... let's go with 15. Dibley's birthday is coming up in 16 days, right? August 15th?
Yeah, 18 days, but close enough. We got 31 days.
Did I just assume today was the last day of July?
You did, Joe.
That's a bit of a swing and a miss. All right, Dibley's birthday is the 15th. So caller 15, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. You're going to get two tickets to Monday's game, Bay Bridge Series. We've also got tickets to the Ellie Mae Golf Classic to give away at 8:45. What'd you have for dinner last night?
Oh, I had some good, really good food last night.
It's important. What'd you have? Guru had burritos.
No, I had friggin' an unbelievable burger. Just phenomenal.
Was it really unbelievable?
It really was.
And yet here you are this morning. Fighting that burger back.
No, I wasn't fighting the burger back, Joe. Stop. It wasn't like that. I just maybe went tinkle.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it was. What a great day.
Ammo
this is a perfect
potty.
Friday. My God, rolling off into the sunset. All right. Expectations for the 49ers this season. Ross Tucker just said, with a Vegas over-under of 4.5, he's definitely playing the over. He thinks with Brian Hoyer and improved quarterback play, this team could make a little noise this season. What's Ted Robinson got to say? He's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Deuce.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy to report that, yes, all three of us are, in fact, in our seats and ready to conduct this segment.
Wow.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Stomach issues be damned. That's what I say.
Whatever. Whatever, dude.
All right.
You're such a...
Uh-oh. I'm just accurately reporting what happened. I'm sorry if you don't like the facts of the case here. There's no embellishment. But I digest. Properly, in my case. The play-by-play voice of the San Francisco 49ers, ladies and gentlemen. Follow him on Twitter at Ted J. Robinson. It's Ted Robinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Ted? How's your summer been treating you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, summer has been terrific. Had an Alaska trip a couple of weeks ago. But yesterday, being in Santa Clara, it's like the first day of school. The kids all came back to class and the principal and the teacher got up there and spoke, and it was it's that feeling, Lo, you lived it. It's pretty cool because it's like first day of spring training in February. Everybody's optimistic.
And speaking of that optimism, how do your preseason expectations this year versus the last couple years differ? I know every year you try to go in, you try to be an optimist, you try to look for the positives, but the team has been through a bit of a rough patch here. Do you feel confident that they have turned the corner and that this is the start of something potentially special?
Well, personally, I'm going to really fight like heck to stay out of the expectation game this year because some scarring from the last couple. But I'll tell you this, guys, and I've said this and I truly believe it. This is the best I felt about where the 49ers are since 2011 July, when Jim Harbaugh had just come in. He and the front office were working together. It was the lockout, so you know nothing much had happened until late July when they finally got the lockout settled. But the point I'm making is that there was a collaborative work within the organization. What John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done for 6 months is the very same thing. They are working together. Now, the talent level right now is not, I don't think, anywhere close to what it was in 2011 when Harbaugh came in. So that's why the expectations have to be scaled down. But what I fully expect to see, guys, is a much better-looking football team. They're going to look like a really well-coached, well-oiled football team. Whether they win 4 games or 8 games is secondary to me to that.
And staying there, is the biggest deal that you want to see is this team better able to compete? You're just alluded to not having necessarily the talent. But so you're looking for to be successful is just seeing this team compete and stay on point. Is that what you're saying, Ted?
Yeah, Lo. And look, it's going to take time
sure.
for this organization to get its talent level back. And you know, you don't just snap fingers and have it happen off 2-14. But what I think is going to happen, What I hope happens is, honestly, even though Kyle Shanahan is an offensive coach, this team has returned a lot of good defensive people. You know, a lot of first round draft picks on defense the last 3 years, defensive linemen first round. They're all going to be on the field this year. So what I'm saying is that to me, this team has to make strides on defense this year. And last year's defense, as we know, was historically bad. That's a fact. The worst in the history of the franchise. There's no way that can remotely happen this year. Offensively, other than the offensive line, it could be a whole new cast of characters, right? The quarterbacks are all different. The wide receivers are all different. There could be big change at tight end. Other than Carlos Hyde, the running backs are all different. So I think it's a blank slate to me. I'm not sure what to expect on offense, even though Shanahan is an accomplished offensive coach, just because the personnel is so different.
Should we be looking at these quarterbacks as stopgaps this year and really trying to measure this offense in terms of the play calling and the maturation of the line and the receivers and others?
Yeah. I mean, look, people can misinterpret the phrase, and I'll use it anyway. It's placeholders. I mean, I think that's what they are. Now, Brian Hoyer can be a pretty good placeholder. He has had success at certain points in this league. And already I've heard, you know, terrific stories about his presence inside and the command and the leadership and all the things, quite honestly, that this team hasn't had a whole lot of at quarterback the last couple of years. Now, how that translates on the field, we'll see soon. But we all understand that starting for 2018 on, the 49ers have to make strides to address who's the long-term answer at that position. Brian is 31, I believe, so that's not the long-term play.
Ted Robinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Any idea what's going on with first-round pick Solomon Thomas, one of the few players still unsigned from the 2017 draft class, and any reason to be concerned that he's not under contract as of yet?
Yeah, no, I didn't know. Honestly, I hadn't even paid attention to that until yesterday when John Lynch mentioned it. And my understanding is it's probably small stuff, but it's still there. And Solomon is represented by Tom Condon, who's a well-known agent that's represented a ton of football players. So my understanding is it's small stuff that probably doesn't, I would assume it's not going to be a long-term hang-up. But look, this guy is a player that was coveted, and he didn't have all the full spring experience with the team because of Stanford's class schedule and this antique rule that I don't understand why that rule still exists. Anyway, the sooner he's in, the better is what I'm saying. And again, it's with Solomon, with Armstead, with Buckner, with Earl Mitchell coming in as a free agent, and some of the returnees, you know, you have to believe in an era when defensive line play, right, should have an advantage. I mean, I work college games on Saturdays, and I can tell you how hard it is to get offensive linemen to come out of the college game today, the way college football is being played, defensive line in the NFL should have a huge advantage. Well, that's where the 49ers have invested heavily in the draft. They need that to play out on the field this year.
Teddy, in your opinion, it may be a little premature to assess the situation. What's the biggest difference between Trent and John Lynch, and what has John Lynch shown you in this young GM position that he has the it factor?
Well, you know, it's funny. They said John and Kyle both said something yesterday that I thought was interesting. They talked about how the goal is to be cutting players at the end of camp that are NFL players, guys that are picked up by other teams. I heard the same thing said by Scott McLuhan and Trent Baalke when I first started with the 49ers 8 years ago. And they built the organization to that point. And Trent, even last year, the 49ers cut some players. Now, these guys aren't standouts, don't get me wrong, but they cut players that were picked up by other teams. So I thought that one was interesting. But what John Lynch had, low, specifically to me, the first thing that I saw was the magnet effect. And I've used that phrase because it's quite honestly something the 49ers haven't had a whole lot of the last couple of years. John Lynch attracted people to come work for him. Adam Peters, highly regarded from Denver. Martin Mayhew, who had been a GM in Detroit, they both signed on to work for John. And Shanahan, of course, did the same thing with his coaching staff. That, to me, was an endorsement. And again, the last couple of years, we hadn't seen that much around the 49ers. So that, to me, was the first sign in February, March of, hey, this thing has a chance to really be right. You have good people, credible people, that are willing to sign on to your ship.
Is Robert Saleh then the defensive coordinator, maybe the coordinator with the most attention on him because there are so many returners on this defense and the fact that he wasn't Shanahan's necessarily his first choice for defensive coordinator?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there is a lot of focus on him. Absolutely, Dibs, and that's because, this was so bad last year defensively. It was quite honestly, there were games where it bordered on, it was just not NFL. I mean, I try to put this out of my head, but if you go back and think about how many touchdowns were scored last year by running backs against the 49ers who weren't touched, who never had a hand put on them, that doesn't happen in the NFL. And it happened repeatedly against the 49ers last year. So with three first round picks in a row on the defensive line, with Bowman back, with Reuben Foster, who's a late first, hopefully participating this year, with Eric Reed and Jimmy Ward. Those are first-round draft picks still in your secondary. I mean, that's a lot of high investment in your defensive side. That has to be better. And, you know, the 49ers have been rooted in the 3-4 for a long time. Well, now that's going to change a little bit. And everyone understands that Saleh's experience with the Seattle scheme and the hope that that plays more like the Seattle, that Eric Reed is going to play more, and this is not to compare because it's not fair, but more in the Cam Chancellor role, and the hope that Jimmy Ward can be more in the Earl Thomas role. If those things can happen to any degree, then this defense should be a heck of a lot better than last year.
Hey, Ted, before we let you go, I wanted to fire a Pac-12 question your way. I'm looking for a potential sleeper to come out of the conference. Last year, Washington caught a lot of people by surprise. This year, I keep hearing Washington State could turn some heads. What are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, that's great. I was just in L.A. for the media stuff this week, and I would, off the top of my head, I would agree with that, in that Luke Falk is back, and with all the focus on Sam Darnold at USC and Josh Rosen at UCLA, who will be likely high draft picks next spring, Luke Falk is right. He's if he's behind him, it's only a half a step. So that would be a team. They had a pretty good year last year, but that would be a team that I think can do it. And I'll tell you what, people will, and I'm going to say this, people will maybe sleep a little bit on Stanford this year because they lost McCaffrey and Solomon Thomas. I mean, they lost some great players, but I wouldn't sleep too heavily on Stanford. Keller Christ is making a really nice recovery from what I understand from his knee injury in the bowl game. And if he's ready to play in September, I'm not saying Stanford's going to be a national championship contender, but I don't think they will be out of it in the North at all.
He's the play-by-play voice of the San Francisco 49ers. Follow him on Twitter at Ted J. Robinson. It's Ted Robinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Ted, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Always great to hear your voices. Dibs, way to go.
Ted, thank you so much. Enjoy the season. We'll see you soon, brother.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, three big things coming up. We got tickets to give away, number one. Number two, there's a story in the NBA that needs to be getting a lot more attention than it currently is. In fact, no one's talking about it, and it is massive. And number three, the Giants, the trade deadline, and a report that just surfaced, a name being floated that very few have talked about so far. We'll have that for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Let's give away some tickets. Your chance to win a family four-pack to the Ellie Mae Classic at TPC Stonebray beginning Monday, July 31st and running through Sunday, August 6th. All winners qualify for a grand prize VIP experience, which includes four VIP passes, fully catered hospitality, and round-trip limo service to the event. The event, mind you, happens to feature two-time MVP Steph Curry. Tickets and info available at elliemayclassic.com. Trivia question for the phone line, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The Washington Nationals hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs in the third inning of Thursday's 15-2 win over the Milwaukee Brewers. Prior to that explosion, when was the last time a major league team hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs in a game? We just need the year. 888-957-9570. Prior to yesterday, when was the last time a team hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs in a game? Speaking of baseball, Jerry Krasnick, writer for ESPN.com and Baseball America, tweeted this out 17 minutes ago. The San Francisco Giants are in a deadline box. They're shopping Denard Span, but no market for him. He has five stolen bases and a minus 18 defensive runs saved metric in center field.
That's not very good, is it?
That's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. Span hasn't been a bust of a signing by any stretch of the imagination, but if anything, what have the last few weeks told you about this team? So many people want to cling to the fact that the Giants are just a few moves away from getting right back into contention. You do realize that every time they float a name to sell, nobody wants it. Here's your latest. Denard Span, they're trying to move. Quote from Jerry Krasnick, no market. They want to move Jeff Samardzija, and everyone will tell you about these metrics that point to how solid he is, yet no takers. What am I missing? Nunez brought back a couple prospects. Put it all together, people. Read between the lines. Understand that this team right now, not in a good spot. They've got some talent, but they are not close to contending. We're talking about a 31-game difference between a Dodger team that's won more games in their last 45 outings than the Phillies have won all year. More games in their last 45 outings than the Phillies have won all year. You're 31 games out in the division. You can't overtake them with one or two moves. I'm sorry, those moves aren't out there. So, outside of the wild card, what is it you're going to do to contend? Nobody wants Span. Nobody wants Hunter Pence. Nunez brought back two prospects. What else you got?
They're going to continue to move the pieces that they don't believe that has been their core. They're going to give these older guys, Joe, and guys that brought them championships, three championships, they're going to give them another opportunity. They believe that they have something left in the tank, and they're going to ride with them. And maybe next year they feel that things are going to change. You get a fresh start. Madison won't get hurt. Maybe Johnny Cueto comes around next year again, show that he can win you 18 to 15 games again, get you back there. And then they're looking at, okay, so we're going to address, you know, left field. We're going to address center field and maybe even right field. So, you know, even with Hunter Pence. So this team is looking at saying, okay, we're going to keep our four. We're going to keep core guys. And we're just everyone else. We're going to plug in and maybe try to go get some more bats out there in those positions that they're trying to fill. But don't know. Don't know if that's going to work, Dibs.
It's frustrating, too, I'm sure, for Giants fans and for other teams who are trying to do business with the Giants. You go to that garage sale, Joe, and you see the person's house open, and you see some items in the driveway, and you're looking through the items in the driveway, and you're not thrilled with them. And then you look behind them into the garage, and you see a shiny new bike, and you say, hey, is that maybe up for sale? No. You can't have that. You see a brand new set of golf clubs. Oh, is that up for sale? No, you can't have that. We got this broken down set here in the driveway, and we got a tire, a bicycle with two flat tires, but you can't have the nice motorcycle in the garage. So teams that are trying to deal with San Francisco, to Lowe's point, they're trying to reload, so they're trying to hold on to their best assets. They're just trying to get rid of the things that they don't really value anymore.
The Johnny Cueto contract just under 2 years ago looked genius from a team perspective. It was genius because it was 6 years and $130 million, and Cueto's coming off a World Series win. But more importantly, that two-year opt-out. Everyone thought he was going to opt out and go back in for one last major payday. That really was getting you Johnny Cueto for like 2 years, $40 million. That was totally reasonable considering the Red Sox are giving David Price more than $30 million a year and Zach Greinke's making more than $30 million a year. That was a hell of a deal. Now, in just under 2 years' time, the perception of that contract has completely flipped. Rather than an easy out after 2 years at a really, really reasonable cost for his skill set, he doesn't opt out. If he stays in, now you're hooked on this guy for another 4 years. And there's no guarantee it's going to get any better. He's not handling the new baseballs very well. He's getting blisters left and right. He doesn't want to be in the clubhouse. He's talked about finishing his career in the American League. Like, this contract went from genius to albatross in just 1 year's time. It's staggering. And yet there's still this perception that we just need to make a couple moves and we're right back in it. What are the moves?
He's not going to opt out. Johnny, with this year, the way he's playing, and I think they know that, he's going to say, shoot, because he thought he was going to get to the open market or opt out of his contract and make more than what he was making, like you alluded to. But when you're not having success, he's going to be like, for what? For who? Boy, you know the bird in hand is better. The old saying, a bird in hand is better than two in a bush. So Johnny's going to stay. And Johnny's going to show you. Johnny won't have another year like this. He's not going to play, you know, next year like this. He'll probably, you know, figure out the blister thing and use the ball more, start pitching even earlier, have those balls used to him. So I think that this is not truly Johnny. I don't think Johnny will sneak it up like he is this year.
Here's another point from Jerry Krasnick. He tweeted this out 1 minute after the Denard Span tweet. The San Francisco Giants would move Hunter Strickland, but a relief glut has suppressed his value. They might keep him to go with Smith, Dyson, and Melanson in 2018. So there's another guy you want to move, but because everyone else has already made their moves on relievers, Colorado, Nishak, that took place the other day, there's nothing left to do.
I don't know how much you'd get back from Hunter Strickland anyway. He's got a plus fastball 97-98, but not a lot of movement on it, and he has not shown a great ability to establish that second pitch. Plus, you add in the Bryce Harper set two, the imbroglio that happened earlier this season. Maybe that has teams turned off as well. And if you think about that bullpen for next year, Will Smith coming back from injury, Sam Dyson's looked good this year. Mark Melanson's been a big question mark because of his injuries. You got to wonder what other moves they can make to shore up this bullpen if they're really interested in trying to compete next year.
Lo, if someone offered you a max contract that topped out at $200 million, how long would it take you to sign that contract, knowing that there are no other options at the immediate moment for you to go sign with? There's this deal for $200 million, and that's the most you can make, or you can just, you know, kind of hang tight on what you've got, but you're not going to get more from anyone else.
Where's the contract? You sign it right now. It don't take me long at all. You do what you do, what's best for you. And that's what they're going to do. No question.
Well, it's taken Russell Westbrook 27 days, and he still hasn't signed the max offer that Oklahoma City made him as soon as they could do it on July 1st. $200 million for a max player. It's the most he could be offered anywhere. We are now 26 days removed, and he hasn't signed it. Now, he's got until October to sign it. But if you love Oklahoma City as much as you were saying last year, if you're that hell-bent on staying there, what's the holdup? What's the holdup to the deal? Or suddenly now that Paul George is in the mix and you have the opportunity to opt out after this year, when LeBron's going to be on the market, when Chris Paul could be back on the market, when Kevin Durant could be on the market, a lot of different players could be floating around in today's NBA out there. Maybe, just maybe, Oklahoma City's only got one more year left of you. Is that a reasonable assertion?
Yeah, I really think that he should have signed it, because you're absolutely right. There's going to be some guys out there that's going to be a free agent, and you look at Paul George being there, if they feel, hey, look, Paul George shows that he can take over this team and he's more of a guy that likes to, you know, share the ball, and they feel that this is the guy, maybe they remove that offer and say, shoot, let's go with Paul George.
Oh, Paul's leaving. Paul's not going to stay there. He's there 1 year.
You think he's gone?
But what? Let's just put it like this. What has given you any indication that Paul George wants to remain in Oklahoma City? He wanted out of Indiana, Midwestern city, small city, small market, and made it clear he wanted to go to L.A. So why would he want to hang out in Oklahoma City?
Well, I think that it could be a situation if LeBron beats him to L.A., if there's, you know, with all these contracts and all these guys being up, these teams are, you know, players are going to have they're going to have their options. But if there's a guy named LeBron, if he opts out and there's other guys that are there, you might not get the chair that you want. That's all.
But if you're Russell Westbrook and you sign this max deal and you agree to stay in Oklahoma City, do you really think you can attract anyone to come there? Paul George only came there as a destination on his way to another destination, kind of a truck stop. Oklahoma City is not going to be a big draw for any other player. So if Russ signs that massive $200 million deal, he's stuck there, and he's not going to be able to build a super team there.
People said that about here. I mean, the Golden State, I'm Fresno, and I've seen this place what it used to be. I mean, it's not like players were dying to get here. It was like the Raiders, a graveyard. People go to last place, the last stop. And now all of a sudden you turn it around. So you can look at small markets, look at the Boston, you look at Cleveland at certain times when LeBron was there. It depends on the athlete that's there. So I agree with you guys saying that, yes, the city means a lot. I get that. But also depends on who you got on your squad.
How about this quote? It's like the elephant in the room, and you don't want to talk about it. But I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm like, nah, there's no need to talk about it. I believe that I will be hopefully not just the highest paid receiver in the league, but the highest paid period. That courtesy of wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who seriously wants to be considered for a contract that would make him the highest paid player in the National Football League. How's that resonate with you?
You know what? The thing about it, like you said, he actually believes that.
That's what should scare you.
And the thing about it is, there'll be a team. I don't know if they're going to make him the highest paid, but there's going to be a team that's going to get desperate, and they're going to overpay him. You see it happen all the time, Joe. You see it happen all the time.
It's just, like, this is what's got to worry you if you're the Giants, that this guy would say this, that he would think to himself that he might be in the running for something like that. How important is the wide receiver position? As you rank positions on the football field, where do you rank the wide receiver position? Is it better than quarterback? That differently. Is it more important than quarterback?
No.
Is it more important than left tackle?
No.
Is it more important than pass rusher?
No.
Is it more important than cornerback?
No. Right there. It's right there with
yes corner. Or no. Exactly.
Yeah. But the biggest thing about it, what you're missing, though, is the perception. These divas believe they are. And the reality is, people are paying the value. Megatron got $100-some million contract. So when you look at it for that team, and here's what people have to realize. When you have a quarterback like that, they're saying they got to get him the ball. And he's the guy that people believe that is a definitely game changer and is elite. So those elite of the elite receivers, they get it.
Receiver isn't even a top five position. It's probably not even top six. I'd say it's probably not even top seven. Do you know why? Who just won the Super Bowl? Who's his receivers? Julian Edelman? Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
Brady can make it work with anyone. It's the quarterback. It's the protection. It's the pass rushing and it's coverage. You don't need an elite wide receiver. The elite wide receivers, AJ Green, never wins in the playoffs. Calvin Johnson never won in the playoffs. Julio was in the Super Bowl, made a huge play, but they couldn't capitalize on it. Made the second biggest play of the Super Bowl, but couldn't capitalize on it. Wide receivers, you can make it work with everything else. Wide receivers are plug and play, man. He thinks he's going to be the highest paid guy in New York. Better start preparing for life without him if that's the type of negotiation they're in for. Mark Schlereth up next on that, and John Gruden returning to the NFL? We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.